This evening's scripture reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad.
As most of you are, you know that I've been an accountant for many years, and tonight I'm going to give you one of my accounting sermons, so bear with me. No. Most of us are familiar with the principles of bookkeeping, whether it's just as simple as keeping a checkbook or maybe it is a little more sophisticated than that, but just give you a basic outline of some things with accounting principles. An asset is something of value, something that's worth something, it has value to it. For example, we see money, and that money has a value, it's printed right on it. We understand that we have homes and cars and clothing, and these are assets to us, so we could use them and they have value to us. And then there is a liability. It's something that we owe, something that we may have that car or that home, and we owe money on that, and that is a liability, and that is something that we owe someone, or it decreases the value of what we have. And so we have assets and we have liabilities. And if anybody needs any further explanation on that, we can meet with me afterwards, and I'll give you all my liabilities, and I'll take all your assets, and then we'll help you understand that a little bit better. But tonight, I want to look at these two terms and apply it to our lives and apply it to some things that are written in Scripture and determine whether we are an asset or whether we are a liability. Just like any businesses, the church has assets and liabilities. Much are in wider application. Some of them, in both of those things, we need assets more than we need liabilities. Too many liabilities make it impossible for either to succeed, whether it's a business or even the church. In Daniel 5 and verse 27, it talks about Nebuchadnezzar, and he was a liability. It says, you have weighed on the scale and be found a deficit. And we know in Jesus' teaching, the Pharisees, in Matthew 12 and verse 30, he says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. The Pharisees were a liability. In similar fashion, there are many in the Lord's church today who are liabilities to the cause of Christ. Many are hurting or hindering the church. It is assets, though, not liabilities, that cause the church to grow and to flourish. Let's consider the question, which am I? Am I an asset or am I a liability to the cause of Christ for the church? Are we zealous workers for the church? Are we lukewarm church members? And we're going to look at the liability for each one of these first, and then we're going to look at the asset. When we look at the liability obviously is a lukewarm church member. If you turn to Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And if you turn over a few more verses, and it says in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. We see that those who are lukewarm church members, who are lukewarm or even half-hearted about doing the work of the church, are a liability. And notice that God will vomit them out of their mouth. It's not pleasing to God. And we ultimately want to be pleasing to God. We want to be an asset. We want to be the asset for God. And we look at that, and the one who is an asset is one who is a zealous worker. We are an asset when we are a zealous worker for the kingdom. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 2, it says, "For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely that Achaia has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them." You see, we need to be zealous. And when we are zealous workers for God and for the cause of Christ, we stir up others to do that as well. There are some other biblical examples of being zealous. So we look at Nehemiah, and they were building the wall around Jerusalem. And the wall got accomplished for one reason, is because they had a mind to work. And God was with them having that mind to work. Also, they've worked from beginning in the morning till night to get the wall done. They had a mind to work. I think it's very obvious that we can see what an asset and what a liability is. And I want to spend and look at a few other examples as we look at these things and we examine ourselves and examine which are we. Are we an asset or are we a liability? And first I want to look at our giving. Are we a cheerful and liberal giver or are we covetous? Obviously the liability is covetousness. Ephesians 5 and verse 5, it says, "For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an adulterer has inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." And we look at that and we do not want to be covetous. We want to have an inheritance in the kingdom of God, so we need not to be a liability in this area. But if we are a liability, we cause the Lord's church, we are a liability to the Lord's cause if we are covetous, because we end up robbing God. Everything comes from God. Everything we have is really of God, and He's given us to it to use in service for Him. And we need not to be covetous with it. We are putting what the world has to offer more than what God has to offer. When we hold our money and not giving it the way we should, we are covetous. We don't maybe find the work of the church not as important as things that we could have personally. And we need to give and be cheerful givers when we give. The asset is a liberal giver, and not only do we talk about money in this area, and I know that we can be, that is one when we give, but we also need to give of our time. Our time is very important to us, and just like our money can be very important to us. And we need to not covet either one of those things. You know, are we giving our time to the Lord like we should? Are we a living sacrifice, Romans 12, verse 1? Are we that living sacrifice that God wants us to be? You know, there's many examples where we can give our time to visit the sick, to help those in our need, in the special events like we had just last week, VBS, and I know many people helped, and that is great. Are we giving our time to God? Are we doing what God wants us to do? The Lord says to freely give because He's given us so much. He's given us Jesus Christ. The most important thing that we could ever have in our lives is the forgiveness of our sins. And having Jesus do that and that sacrifice that He made for us, we should be an asset in our giving. And when we are an asset in our giving, we have proven that we have given ourselves wholly to God. And we help the Lord's work to get done, and we show concern for the Lord's work. The next area I want to look at is our commitment. Are we faithful or are we a forsaker? Obviously, the liability here is a forsaker. Hebrews 10 and verse 25, it says, "Not forsaking the assembly of some, or assembly of others, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching." 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 10 says, "Always caring about the body of the dying Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body." When we look at whether we are a liability to the church, if we are a forsaker, because we fail to exhort one another. We're to come together and we're to exhort each other and to encourage and build one up. But if we're not here, we can't do that. If we're not here, we are a forsaker. We fail to manifest Jesus in our lives. We cannot manifest Jesus if we're not building each other up. And ultimately, we end up tearing down the church, weakening the church. But if we're faithful, Matthew 25, verse 29, if we are faithful, we are an asset. Matthew 25 and verse 21 said, "His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" Isn't that what we want to hear at the end of our lives? When we meet God and before that judgment seat, isn't that what we want to hear? "Well done, good and faithful servant." I think that is ultimately what each one of us want to hear. Luke 16 and verse 10, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much, and he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much." We want to be found faithful. Revelation 2:10, we often mention this, that to live faithful unto death, but we just touch on it. And what does it mean to live faithful? We need to live faithful all of our lives, doing what God wants us to do. Our commitment in our life is to do what God wants us to do, to be that bright and shining light unto the world so that others may see our good works and ultimately glorify God. When we are an asset to the church, it's when we are faithful. And ultimately, we will not allow things to go undone. We will believe, we'll do, and we'll teach that which is according to God's will. And ultimately, we'll help the church to grow. The next area I want to look at is our knowledge. Are we studious in our knowledge? Are we ignorant of God's word? Obviously, ignorance is a liability. And if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And if we look at verse 14, it says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, and for carried about with every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You see, ultimately, if we do not know God's word, we will be tossed to and fro. We'll be tossed around. We will not know what the truth is. We'll be ignorant. And whatever comes away by men, we could follow it. And if we do not know God's word, and if we don't understand it, we could ultimately lose our own soul. And we need to be not ignorant of God's word, but we need to have knowledge of it. 2 Peter 3 and verse 5, it says, "For this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God." And we don't want to do that. We want to we don't want to be a liability in this area. Because we are a liability to the church when we are ignorant to God's word because we fail to understand the very basics of Christianity. Ultimately, we could be swept in error. And we will do things our own way and not the Lord's way. And ultimately, it weakens the church. But an asset is one who's studious, who knows God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Meaning, we know how to handle it. We know what God's word says, and we know what it means to make application to our life. We need to take that word and rightly handle that so that we know when error is being taught, when we know that the truth isn't being taught. And ultimately, in 1 Timothy 4:13, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to the exhortation and teaching. We need to know God's word. In Ephesians, I jumped ahead in Ephesians because I wanted to see the liability first. But if we look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, till we all come to the knowledge, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the faithfulness of Christ. See, we got to come to the knowledge of Christ. Then this won't happen. Then in verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to or fro and carried about every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. When we know God's word, that will not happen. Because we know it, and we can understand it, and we can say, hey, that is not right, that teaching is not right. When we are an asset, to the Lord's church when we are studious because we know truth from error. We understand what it means to be pleasing to God, and we can understand what God's word says, and that we can make these applications to our lives. God's work can ultimately work through us, and we can take his word to others. The next area I want to look at is our life. Are we spiritual or are we worldly? And obviously the liability here would be worldly. 1 John 2 and verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Galatians 5:19 through 21, it goes through all a list of things in here. And I'll just read some of them. And now these are worldly things. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, various emulations, wrath, strife. And we look through all these, and ultimately these are worldly things. And all of these things, if we fall into them and live into them, and at the end of the verse 21, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We need to be careful of whether we are worldly or whether we are spiritual. We are a liability to the church if we are worldly because we can cause souls to be lost. We can bring shame to the church. We can cause the church to be unclean. Ultimately, we could make the church weaken. The asset, though, is spiritual. For to be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. Romans 8 and verse 6. And Titus 2:11 and 12 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world. We are an asset to the church when we are spiritual, because we promote life and peace, because we keep the church pure, and we can lead people to heaven. What are you this evening? Are you an asset or are you a liability? Do you come with a solution or do you come with the problem? You see, God keeps the books. He makes no mistake. Someday he'll be demanding a reckoning or a balancing of the books. Will you be one who is found on the right side of the ledger? You see, God, being so great, gave us an asset. To us, because we have a tremendous liability. And that asset is Jesus Christ. He's the biggest asset of all. By Jesus living that perfect life and going to the cross and canceling out our liabilities, we can have a hope for heaven. Now, in order to obtain that goal, we must and we need to be obedient to God. And then our scripture reading talked about that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. For the things that we've done in our body, whether they be good or whether they be bad, whether they're an asset or whether they're a liability, we must all come before Christ at judgment day for an accounting of those things. Hope this lesson will challenge you and make you think about what you are in your life. I would hope that we're all trying to be an asset for the church, for the cause of Christ, that the church can grow and prosper, and that we can bring lost souls, not only here, but maybe throughout the world. What is our influence? If you're here tonight and you are not living right and maybe you're in sin and you need to repent of those sins, we as the church are here for you to help you to get past this and move on and to live a faithful life. But we need to take that action. We need to repent of that sin. Or if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Confess that. Repent of your sins. And have those sins washed away in baptism. If you have a need tonight to take care of these things and get right with God, I encourage you to do this. Don't delay. Please come forward as we stand and as we sing.